Okay, as we prepare to hear God's word and reflect on it in our lives today, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reconciliation that you bring into our lives through the work of Jesus. I pray that you would open your word for us through your Holy Spirit, and that you would guide my words for your people, and that we would be able to grasp the depth of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I'm preaching on the epistle, the letter reading that Kathy read for us just before, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And we are going to be referring to it a bit in the sermon, so I'm going to find the page number if you haven't got it already. 1160. Thank you very much. Now, I've got to tell you up front that this is my... I say this a lot, but this one truly is my absolute top favorite number one Bible passage in the entire Bible. And in fact, this passage is what I would call my life verse. It describes what I believe God has called me and also others to do and to be involved in. But that being said, I hope that I can convey some of that to you today. So we're talking about reconciliation and new creation. And there was a major world event last week, which you may be able to guess what I'm going to put up on the screen here for this. In terms of reconciliation, in terms of something significant happening between people who had apparently been enemies, what do you think it might be? Oh, here we go. Jess, well done. So for the first time ever, a sitting US president met the chairman, supreme leader, dictator of North Korea, since North Korea and South Korea went to war over 50 years ago. As you know, I want to be what I would say, use some cautious, realistic optimism here, okay? Because we don't know what the outcome of all this is going to be. It looks like Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un have made steps towards reconciliation. And if you think back a few months ago, Kim Jong-un was testing and firing rockets to be equipped with nuclear warheads. Donald Trump was calling Kim a little missile man, and they were hurling invective and insults kind of back and forth. So relations were really not good. But at this meeting, which has been a long time in the planning, by the way, they have gone to smiling at each other, talking to each other, shaking hands, and sitting down at a table and trying to nut out some things that they can do in terms of the relationship between the two countries moving forward. Now, this is potentially, and I'm going to use all of these kind of could be, maybe, might be, we don't know yet kind of words, because we don't know. But this is potentially an historic moment that opens up the possibility of something actually new, both in the relationships between these two countries, but also for the people of those countries. History will judge whether the promises that are being made at this summit will be kept, but the new situation that is opening up could actually be better for everyone concerned. So reconciliation perhaps might possibly, please God, bring about something that is a completely new situation. But reconciliation is hard work that requires sacrifice, compromise, and the building of trust. And we don't know how much has gone on behind the scenes so that this event could happen. Reconciliation really is at the heart of the Christian message. And we're going to read a portion of that passage that Kathy read before, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13 to 20. Would someone like to read that out for us in a nice loud voice? Please just go for it if you're there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13 to 20.
Be reconciled to God.
Yes, thank you. Reconciliation, reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself And this is deeply linked to new creation. But what does this mean for us? It means that before Jesus came, we were actually God's enemies. Reconciliation is a process by which a relationship that has been fractured is restored and repaired, a process by which people who were enemies become, once again, friends. And reconciliation actually brings the possibility of something, not only the possibility, but the seed of something completely new, something that was not there before. Now, we like to think of ourselves, at least when people talk to me and they say, "Pastor, you know, I'm a pretty good person." And if I had a dollar for every time I've heard someone say that, I could probably buy myself a car. It wouldn't be a very good car, but it would be a car. You know, "Pastor, I'm a pretty good person." But actually, biblically, the Bible tells us that without Christ, we are actually enemies of God. And so sin is not just little stuff that we do or mistakes that we make. It's active hostility towards the God and creator of the universe. Sin is about us usurping God's power and saying, "I don't want you to be God. I'm going to take your place." And the ways that it comes out in our actions and our behavior and our relationships are what we normally call sin or sins. Romans 5, verse 6 to 11, I'm going to read that one to you, tells us about this. Romans 5, verse 6 to 11 says this. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, although for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" Listen to verse 10. "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" So as sinners, we are enemies of God. But God doesn't want to leave us that way. He wants to draw all people, all things back to himself. And he's in the business of reconciliation. He's in the business of making enemies into friends. And he does it through what Jesus does. Yes, that's the slide that I'm at. Sorry about that. So what is reconciliation? I haven't actually put it up on the screen, but I've put it down here on your page. The Greek word, and please excuse me for using that, but I think it's important to get a good understanding of what this actually means, katalaga, to re-establish proper, friendly, interpersonal relations after these have been disrupted or broken, to reconcile, to make things right with one another, reconciliation. So the sequence, as I've put it down there, involves disruption of friendly relations because of presumed or real provocation. So there's something that goes wrong and it disrupts and breaks the relationship. Then there is an overt behavior designed to remove hostility. Someone has to actually do something active in order to bring about reconciliation. There's a willingness to accept the restoration. Both parties, to some extent, have to be willing to come and meet in the middle, or in Singapore, as was the case with Trump and Kim Jong-un. And then there is a restoration of original friendly relations. Now, this is actually the very core of what God is doing and what our Christian faith is about. Reconciliation with God is the very core of what Jesus came to do, to turn us from enemies into friends. Not reasonably good blokes who God might slightly overlook some of the mistakes that we've made, but actual enemies into God's friends. And this reconciliation brings about a new creation, which I now want to unfold. In 2 Corinthians, in the reading that Edward just read for us and Kathy read for us, it says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." He's drawing all things to him. He's not counting people's sins against them. He's saying, I am not going to count you as guilty. I am not going to consider you as my enemy anymore because of what Jesus has done. So the willingness to move towards restoration is all God's initiative. It's all from him. He's the one who takes the first step and the second step and who keeps moving towards us in Christ to bring about forgiveness and reconciliation. So that overt behavior designed to end the hostility is actually Jesus, the Son of God, coming into the world in a body in order to live, to minister, to die, and to rise again, in order to turn us from God's enemies into his friends. And that's what this passage is all about. So Jesus' death and resurrection creates a new situation, and a situation where God can come and meet us, shake hands with us, if you like, reconcile with us, and make us his friends. Interestingly, in 2 Corinthians 5, we also find that another in Christ. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Now, one of the older translations said, if anyone is in Christ, he or they are a new creation. But it's actually broader than that. What God is doing is planting the seeds in us which grow into something completely new, not only for ourselves, but in our way of relating to the world and to the people around us. It's as if God has given us a new pair of glasses through which to look at the world, through the reconciliation that comes by Jesus. And that's why it says, I'll just turn back to 2 Corinthians 5. That's why it says what it does in verse 16, and I'm going to get Lerato to read that out nice and loud for us, verse 16.
Now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we are once regarded Christ.
Okay, so now we can't look at anyone the way we did before. God has given us new glasses, and through the reconciliation that comes through Jesus, we actually look at each other and the world differently as well. If we are new creations, and if we are living in the new creation, then we are new people. We have a new relationship with the creator of the universe, and therefore we have a new relationship with the creation itself and with the people whom God loves. So the new creation that comes through reconciliation brings about a whole lot of new possibilities that weren't there before. It's very much like what Jesus says in the parable of the kingdom, like a seed. God has planted within us a seed that is going to grow into something new and that could not have been predicted before what God did with Jesus. Who could have predicted, 6 months ago that Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un would meet, would actually be able to overcome their differences to the point where they could meet each other in person and shake hands? And yet that's only a small glimpse of what God can do and is doing with us because we are a new creation. I want to say this. When it comes to the restoration of relationships, nothing is beyond God. When it comes to restoring relationships, God is in the business of reconciliation, and nothing is beyond him. No relationship with God, no matter how fractured it may appear to us, no relationship with someone else is beyond the power of God's restoration. Now, reconciliation actually brings liberation. It's freeing. If you have ever been in an argument with someone, raise your hands if you've ever been. Oh, everyone, okay. Yes, what a surprise. If you have ever been really angry with someone or someone has really hurt you, you know how awful and constricting and painful a fractured relationship can be. And yet God is in the business of reconciliation. So when it comes to relationships, again, nothing is beyond God. And he wants to set us free from all of the things that come with broken relationships. So how do we live in this new creation? Well, St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 talks about this. And it's profound stuff. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. This is verse 17. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And he has committed to us this message. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So as people reconciled to God, God has called us to be ambassadors, to be representatives, to be go-betweens for Jesus and other people who don't yet know this good news. We are ambassadors of Christ. Jesus goes, right, Mandy, you are now my representative. Tim, you are my representative, you are my ambassador. Jess, you are my ambassador, and I'm going to use you to take my good news, my message of reconciliation to others. Sorry for all the people I didn't name, but you get the idea. So we are ambassadors of Christ. Everything that we do represents Jesus to the world around us. We invite other people to walk with Jesus. You know, I suspect in the Lutheran Church that we're a little bit quietistic about this sometimes. It's not that we do a bad job. We actually do a really good job that a lot of the time we downplay and we don't see. But we have this amazing privilege of inviting other people into God's reconciled relationship, of saying to them, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done. God doesn't want you to be his enemy. God wants to be your friend. He wants to free you from all that stuff, and he wants to restore your relationships. And that's why our church's tagline is so important. We want to invite other people to walk with the risen Jesus as well. Finally, we are invited to be agents of reconciliation. We're invited to be peacemakers, to actually let that seed of the new creation grow out in our lives for the good of other people. If you turn your page, your notes over, it's that last dot point. Be agents of reconciliation, live as peacemakers, and respond to conflict by seeking peace and reconciliation. This is the realm now of practical lived out theology. As people reconciled to God, we get to reconcile other people as well. And like I said before, that's hard. That takes hard work and courage and commitment and all of those kind of things. Where is my little pamphlet? I have been trained as a Christian conflict coach. In fact, at one stage, all of the pastors of the Lutheran Church of Australia were trained as Christian peacemakers or conflict coaches. Some of you may have seen this pamphlet before, and I'm not saying this now because I particularly believe that any of us are in particular conflict or because we have conflict within ourselves, but we will hit conflict at some point in our Christian lives. And I have found living as an ambassador of Christ and being an agent of reconciliation one of the most powerful and life-giving things that we can do for others. Now, on the back of this pamphlet is something called the Peacemaker's Pledge, and I have extracted it onto your Bible study sheet. And I think that it would be powerful if we read that together, because that's the practical response to God's message of reconciliation to us. So I invite you to read that part in quotes with me. As people reconciled to God by the death and resurrection of Jesus, we believe we are called to respond to conflict in a way that is remarkably different from the way the world deals with conflict. We also believe conflict provides opportunities to glorify God, grow to be like Christ, and serve others. Therefore, in response to God's love and in reliance on his grace, we commit ourselves to responding to conflict according to the following principles. Glorify God, get the log out of our own eye first, gently restore, go and be reconciled. By God's grace, we will apply these principles as a matter of stewardship, realizing that conflict is an opportunity, not an accident. We will remember that success in God's eyes is not a matter of specific results, but of faithful, dependent obedience. And we will pray that our service as peacemakers will bring praise to our Lord and lead others to know his infinite love. I've read a lot of stories about the power of reconciliation. Stories from places like the Rwandan genocide, places like after the Second World War, with what happened with the Holocaust. And it's hard, but it's incredibly powerful to be able to live as peacemakers, to be agents of reconciliation. I want to open the invitation to you that if you are currently in a significant conflict and you would like some coaching with how to live this new creation, that I would love to do that with you. And in fact, that is part of my most important pastoral work. I want to finish with, once again, the good news. And the good news is that no matter how good or bad you are at conflict, no matter whether you're still in conflict, God has still reconciled himself to you through the death of Jesus. No matter what you may have done, you are forgiven and you are a friend of God. God loves you and he invites you to live in that new creation. In the name of Jesus. Amen.